I guess you could say a guten Erev Shabbos or a guten Thursday. I'm really not sure what day it is anymore. You can imagine that a very, very tired person. Baruch Hashem, Chassan and Kala are home safe and sound in Teaneck, New Jersey. They amazingly were supposed to fly on Sunday night. They only got pushed off until Monday night, 2 a.m., right at the gate. So my son had boarding passes, him and his wife, and they said, well, you can get on the flight, but she can't. She's going on a different flight. He says, we're married two days over here. She's got a boarding card, and she's coming with me, and grabbed her onto the plane. And sometimes it's kedai to be Israeli. Baruch Hashem, they had two regular Sheva Brachas once they got back, which was business as usual, and they finished the last Sheva Brachas in Lakewood last night, and now we're just left with other things, like the people who are left here getting back. So my brother's flight today was supposed to be this morning, and Arkia Airlines pushed off the flight by 12 hours, which means that they're taking off on Shabbos, which means that he doesn't have a flight. Which at this point means that Mistama, he's going through Egypt on Sunday, like a lot of other people. Mechutanim are looking to get out in the beginning of the week. My brother-in-law was supposed to get out today, pushed to Wednesday. Now he's in Egypt. He's getting out. So, you know, a lot of frenetic energy going on in the family, just like there's a lot of frenetic energy going on here in the yeshiva. Everybody wondering how they're going to get out. But Lemaisa, as far as the major excitement with the two chasanas together and a war in between, so that pretty much has passed us. We have to start cleaning for Pesach, and we have to finish Zman. We have to finish Zman. This is going to be the last Chumash year of the Zman. To me, it's amazing that we made it this far with what's going on over here. But Zman, everybody knows that a Zman is basically a well-defined period of growth in Torah, skills in learning, knowledge in Torah, growth as a person, and maybe more intangible, difficult to get your hand on, but growth in a realization of the fact that we have a kesher with our Kodesh Baruch Hu. That we're not just sitting here and living in a mundane world, but our Kodesh Baruch Hu is out there, and we're in front of him, and, you know, if we look, so we can touch him, so to speak. And it's a lot harder to get your hand on. It's a lot harder to realize that it's happening. I think I mentioned once earlier in the Zman that if you look at certain people, and you look at the glazed over look that they have in the beginning of the Zman, and then the look which is replaces it, you know, a look of intensity, of fire in the eyes. So what that really is, you know, a person, he's operating more with the Shechina than he was before. It's hard to see it in yourself also. I always say that the best way to see what you gain during the Zman is to gauge yourself, you know, after you get home, whether you go through Tel Aviv or whether you go through Egypt or whether you go through Cyprus. But when you walk into your house and you go down the stairs and you realize that the stairs in Israel and the stairs in America are different, and you realize that the light switches are different, then just look around and see how you feel. Do you feel like you belong here, or do you feel that it's a little strange? I'm not really the same guy as I was before. And if you feel that I'm not really the same as I was before, so then you know that that kesher between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, something happened inside of you. There's a switch that was flicked, and you know that it was a good Zman. So it's really this last element, not so much the Torah, not so much the growth as a person, but really that kesher between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what I want to talk about a little bit today. in the context of Pesach. It's a time of Chirus. And also the sugyas that we've been doing in the afternoon, which also have to do with Chirus. And of course, it's Parshas Vayakel, Kudei, coming on to Chodesh Nisan. So we'll put that all together and hopefully get an insight and something practical that we can take home with us. The famous Maimer Chazal, everybody knows it, but there are little pieces of it that are less famous. It says that the luchais were maisel akim, al tikri charus. Don't say charus al luchais al cherus. The luchais give you freedom. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, charus mimalach hamavis. That's not so famous, right? You have the luchais, you have Torah, you don't ever die. How have I, right? Whatever that means. Rabbi Nechemya Omer, charus min hamalchus. You don't have to worry about the law. You don't have to worry about the king. You don't have to worry about all the powers in Olam Hazeh. Rabbanan Amrim min Yesurim. All the aggravation, if you really are in touch with Torah, you're free from that too. The Mishnah Navas says that Al Tikri Charus El Cherus She'en Lecha Ben Cherin Al Misha Isaac B'Talmud Torah V'Chol Misha Isaac B'Torah Tadir. You do it constantly. Harizem mis Allah, he's elevated. So you're free from the Malach HaMavis, you're free from Malchus, you're free from Yisurim. And why are you free? Because you're mis Allah. I always say it's counterintuitive. You're a Ben Torah. Ben Torah has a lot of restrictions. You can't dress the same way that other people do. You can't do the same things that other people do. You have 613 mitzvahs. It seems anything but chayrus. But on the other hand, we say it's chayrus. So the famous blurb is chayrus from the Yetzer Hara, because everybody is a slave to their Yetzer Hara. But it seems like the Mishnah over here and the Medrash is saying something more elevating. No Yetzer Hara. There's no Malach HaMavis. There's no Yisurim. There's no Malchus. You're Mis'ala. What's going on over here? What does the Torah do for us? And what exactly is this element that we're talking about? In the Shir this week, so we also talked about Cheres. Talked about Dalet Kaisis, which the Gemara says on Kuftes, Amibes, was Nitakein Derech Cheres. What does it mean, Derech Cheres? So we saw a lot of different interesting ideas. The most obvious idea, we just went through a Purim. What's Cheres? Cheres is, you know, you drink wine, so you let your guard down, and hopefully you go in the right mindset, so it's elevating. And it's Derech Cheres because of the fact that, you know, it makes you feel good. It gives you a certain simcha. It frees you from your shackles. That's what it does. You come to my house for the Seder and you see what goes on over there, you know, at, what's it called, at Nirtza. It's a very, very fun matzav, you know, sometimes too fun. I remember it was the first or second year that I was married and whatever. My wife's family is also very lebedika bunch. Kaihanim with all kinds of, you know, all kinds of kaiches. And we're sitting there during Nirtza and, you know, the place is just like flying. And my mother-in-law, Shalom, says, you know, Daniel, you're going to, after this whole experience, you know, you're not going to run away. What? Adarava. It was so much fun. But that's one type of what? That's one type of cheres that you have. One type of cheres. From Shtias Yayin. The second derech cheres is Arba Brachas Alakais. Four Brachas Alakais. Which means that you make four brachas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have your Kiddush, you have your Magid, you have your benching, you have your Hallel, yeah? And you do it all with the prop of the Kais. You pick up a goblet. Why? Because that's a snapshot of Cherus. When you want to demonstrate Cherus, so you have somebody holding a nice cup of wine. That is what Cherus is. Not just internally, not through the Shtia, not just through the Gavra, but through the chefts of the kais, it shows cheres. That's the brochure of cheres. And then there's a third idea, which Rav Yashar Ber put together from all of it, is that it's not just cheres in terms of the picture, in terms of the process of drinking, but the entire process of Leil HaSeder, the Dalet Kaisis, the four brachas, are all building up to a crescendo of Shir Alayayim. So you start off with Kiddush, and then you have a bracha of Magid, and then you have a Suda, and the last one is Hallel. We all build up through these four cases to a crescendo of Shir Alayayim. It's the ultimate Cheres. We're all singing. It's a Hallel. It's like our national anthem after we went out of Mitzrayim. This all sounds great, but let's take a lekach. Practically, what are we supposed to be thinking? Just we're free? Free from what? Cheros, Yisale, no Yisurin, no death, no Malchus. What's that all about? And finally, the last thing over here, Parshas Vayakel and Pekudei, very interesting. Total repeat. Everybody talks about it. Why? We had the Chet HaEgel, and then you have the repeat of Vayakel Pekudei. Now, it's a machlekes rishenu exactly what's going on over here. Some say that if not for the Chet HaEgel, you really wouldn't have even needed a Mishkan. Because the Hashras HaShchina would have been like with the Avis, it would have happened without a Mishkan. The Ramban doesn't seem to say that way. The Ramban says that the Tzivui HaMishkan was actually before the Chet HaEgel. Then you had the Chet HaEgel, and you could not give over the Tzivui HaMishkan to the people until the day after Moshe Rabbeinu came back. He put on the mask, his face was glowing, and there was total kapara for Klal Yisrael. And that's why Yaakov Pekudei. So after the first Tzivui, which Lachar was never given over, and the Chet HaEgel, you had to wait until all the ramifications of the Chet HaEgel were gone, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives over the Tzivui HaMishkan. What's the deal with that? How come you have to wait until Matzah Yom Kippur in order to get back, and then is only the Tzivui HaMishkan? So let's talk about this. Cheirus, let's talk about what you're supposed to be thinking about Leil HaSeder with the Dalai Kaisis, and let's talk about what we exactly came back to after the Chet HaEgel, and Lamaisa, very important lekach going into Bein HaZmanim. The last Shabbos we had Shabbos Sheva Brachas, and at the Shabbos Sheva Brachas, I told over that at the Chasna, the recent Chasna, I said to one of the Rabbanim in Telstone, I said, Lamaisa, I have to sit down at some point, not too foreseeable future, you know, whatever, pretty soon, and write my own Megillas Esther. Because for me, starting with last Bein HaZmanim, meaning, you know, after Sukkos, I've had so many crazy things happen to me one after the other. It's Mamish of Megillas Esther. Mamish of Megillas Esther. I'll give you, you know, like a quick checklist. You know, it's not everything, but just, a, you know, whatever. A chazara right after us, right after Sukkos. So we had a big simcha in the family. My son, Hassan number one, made a Siyum HaShas. Okay, you made a Siyum HaShas. What was so big about making a Siyum HaShas? Well, first of all, it was a Siyum HaShas. But Lamaisa, he's been in Shidduchim for a long time. As soon as he makes a Siyum HaShas, boom, we're inundated with suggestions for Shidduchim and everything like that. It starts rolling. Right after that, so then my niece gets engaged at the Tana'im. So there happens to be a friend over there who's talking with my wife and about the fact that she has this son, and, you know, he's such a good boy, and this and that and the other thing. And the Shadchan says, oh, well, what about that girl who's right over there? And it happened to be the Kala. And my wife says, oh, that sounds interesting or whatever. She's not going out yet. But a week later, she decides she is going into Shidduchim. They meet like a week or two later or whatever it is. And fine, they get engaged. All the while, my mother-in-law gets sick. She's in the hospital the day after the Tanaim, unforeseeably, so sadly, so she's nifter. That's what's it called. After that, so what's it called? So we're supposed to have a Levaya on Friday. The Levaya gets pushed off. Why? The mace wasn't on the plane. When does that ever happen? I've never heard of such a story in my life. Levaya is pushed off 2 days. As a result of that, so my wife is not coming back when she's supposed to be coming back. I end up flying to America, and I wasn't supposed to be in America. The day that she gets them from Shiva, my other son becomes a chassan in America. We're both there at the L'chaim, which we would never have been at L'chaim otherwise. We're not supposed to be in America. Okay, he comes back. Then we come back to the matzav over here. We have, you know, all the shilas about the avelis and everything, the shleishim. Soon I fly off to America to the yeshiva dinner. The day I'm coming back from the yeshiva dinner, we have, what's it called? We have the afruf, first afruf. After the first afruf, so we have the chasna, we got sheva brachas. The day after sheva brachas, we have a second afruf. Second Afruf, the morning of the second Afruf, I wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning. I feel like the entire Israeli Air Force is flying over my head. I was like, oh boy, this doesn't sound very good. Sirens go off, we have the Afruf, and the war breaks out. Okay, now what are we going to do? We have a Chasana coming up, and we have a war that just broke out. We call up the hall, and we say, you know, whatever, what's the story? Of all the halls in Yerushalayim or whatever, this is a punkt. This place, they operated business as usual. So we didn't have to find ourselves a new hall. That was a major nace. What was a bigger nace about it was, is that it wasn't where the Chasan and Kala initially wanted to get married. We were looking into much more, you know, other high-end halls, which the people from America wanted. Nothing worked out. So we went to this high-end Haredi hall, which punked ended up being the one that didn't cancel on anybody. Okay, nace number two. We're supposed to have Sheva Brachas in a particular hotel, which we had certain reservations about at a certain point. The day before Purim, Tainus Esther, my son calls up, do you guys have a bomb shelter? Bomb shelter? Who says we're letting you come for Shabbos? My son is like, what? Now you're telling us or whatever, right before Purim kicks in? You know, we don't have any place for a Shabbos Sheva Brachas. Yeah, so anyway, my other son turns around right after Megillah reading, calls up another hotel, which was booked solid, but now they're not anymore because no one's able to come in from Europe. And we flip over to the other hotel, which Lemaisa, which was a much, much, much better hotel for a zillion reasons. And we never would have been able to go over there, and that worked out perfectly to our benefit. Mechutanim had no way of getting in. Somehow, you know, my son has a friend, pulls him in from Mitzrayim when that wasn't done yet, or whatever it is. You know, he was one of the mechadshim of the whole mahalach, and they get in. I'm not even telling you about the fact that, like, while this was going on, you know, they didn't tell my father was in the hospital, and he got out of Baruch Hashem. He had a refuah, and he's still on his way back. And my father-in-law again was in the hospital, and but it's just been an absolutely crazy tekufa, and you know, none of this, by the way, is nisi, right? Nothing. Everything is just regular. Just Derech HaTeva, the way that everything fits together, it's just totally, totally natural. Totally natural. If you like, you can find, you know, the Yad Hashem in certain things. But one thing is definitely, definitely true. You go through a period like this with your eyes open, and I'm saying this to everybody in the room also, because everybody's now a little bit scared, you know, how am I going to get home? Am I going to get home? Or whatever it is. Just realize that the reason we get put into these situations, L'toiv and L'mutav, is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to realize, hey, I'm here. I'm here. Somebody got sick, I'm here. Somebody had a refuah, I'm here. Somebody had a simcha, a tremendous simcha, I'm here. I'm doing all of this. And all of these roller coasters because He wants you to feel His presence. It's like the Gaon says in Megillas Esther, "Oid yada netuya aleinu." As everything is going, you have to realize HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand is there. Now, l'chera, there's a very big difference between that and the Zeraya Netuya that you have on Pesach. But it's only one because one is totally open, and the other one you have to think a little bit. But the whole idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us, and if we think a little bit, so we realize that He's a palpable presence, this is exactly what we're supposed to get out of our life as we go through any experience. And the Maisa, this is the third element, the third element that we're supposed to get out of being in yeshiva, not only a learning skills, not only growing as a person, but the realization that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there, He's with us constantly. And that's the way that we're supposed to live. Let's go back to our Inyan. What does it mean, Charis al Aluchas? What does it mean that a person is Nis'aleh through Torah? What does it mean that a person is saved from Yisurim, that he's saved from death, that he's saved from Malchus? We all live very, very petty lives. Look at us. We're sitting and looking, you know, at our, and I'm not blaming anybody. I'll be doing the same thing too. I'm looking at my phone 45 times a day. What's on my flight? What's on my flight? What's on my flight? You know, whatever it is. Why? Because somehow we delude ourselves into thinking that we have control over the situation. And the more I get involved, it's going to change things. One guy told me what he did. I think he's the biggest genius on 2 feet. He told me he pushed off his flight 2 weeks till right before Pesach. And that way, it's not going to be on his head. But if you can stay in the matzav and still realize, okay, fine, I'm going to check, you know, however much I need to check, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the show. You're free from malchus and you're free from death, spiritual and physical. It's just, you're in a different realm. And you're yisaleh. You're above the petty situation. That's what Torah is supposed to do for us. Torah is supposed to say to us, that it's not a petty, mundane world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the show. And that's what Chayrus is really all about. When a person lifts up his cup 4 times, when a person drinks the wine, when a person goes through a Leil Pesach, and eventually he comes to a crescendo of Shira, you know what he's really singing about? He's singing about the fact that I don't just live in Olam Hazeh. I'm above that. All of this is just the scenery. But this is all just the scenery which is supposed to lead me to being in touch with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if I do that, then I'm a free man. I don't have to be nervous about this stuff. I don't have to be bogged down with this stuff. It's just the scenery in my life. But the point of it all is getting that connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you know why we had to wait for the Tzivui HaMishkan? Is because the Tzivui HaMishkan was supposed to be right after Maimed Har Sinai. Maimed Har Sinai was awesome. It was the most connected that we are to HaKadosh Baruch Hu since the time of the Yavis. We went back to a level of other Rishon Kodem Achet. And in that matzav, so we're right to it for a total Hashras Hashchina. Came the Egel, and the Egel was Pagim. The Egel came and messed up everything. You can't get a Mishkan until you get back to that level. Well, you're not in this world anymore. Well, you realize that this world is just, it's just a dream. But the real stuff is that connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what happened after Yom Kippur when we achieved the total kapara. And Be'ezras Hashem, one day we'll get back to that soon when we experience the Geula Shleima. B'maisa, it's the end of the Zman. And when you go to the end of the Zman, so, you know, you have to realize what you gained. But I always think back, you know, it's funny, we were wait in the hotel for Shabbos, and I always think back to my first year. You know, my first year in yeshiva. So like any first year guy, you know, I came in and I was 100% certain, you know, June 10th, I'm back on the plane, even though the Zman goes to the end of Av, I'm going to be on my plane until June 10th because I got to get my college credits in early so that I can have a head start to my life of, you know, whatever, of being some fancy whatever and, you know, making my millions of dollars like everybody else, you know. And my mother says to everybody, you know, whatever it is, my mother's not such a quiet person anymore. So she's like, "Now, this is my son. And, you know, so many years ago, he went to Israel for 1 year. And he's still there. And now he says a shir in the yeshiva and whatever it is." Okay, she's proud of me, right? What happened? So there's one breed of people who I have no respect for. And don't tell anybody. They're called flip-outs. I have very, very little respect for people who are flip-outs. Why? Because the definition of a flip-out is just somebody who, like, you know, took out their brain, handed it to somebody else, and then put it back in his head. And, you know, like, emotionally they were swayed by something, or, you know, whatever it is. I'm anything but. I'm far too stubborn. Any change I ever made in my life, I did it slowly, organically, naturally, and it took a long time to convince me of anything. Ask the Rosh Hashiva what a pain in the neck I was. You know? He'll probably tell you he still is, you know. But basically what happened was, you know, you meet people and you start to learn and you have experiences. And you meet the Mashkiach and you meet Rabbi Shurkin and you meet the Rosh and you meet the Rosh Yeshiva. And you realize that these people are just, they're, you know, they're not in the same world as I am. They have a different set of values. They take their Yiddishkeit very, very seriously. And to them, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a reality. And Torah and everything that it says in the Torah is a reality. And of course, you hear from the Rosh Yeshiva, you know, whatever, from the Rosh Yeshiva and the Mashkiach, many times over. First year, it doesn't really go in. You don't understand what they're talking about, you know. But the Rambam in the end of Shemitah V'Yovel, he says that anybody in the world, Asher Nod V'Rucha Yosai, who's inspired, Ve'Vinu Madoi Li'Bodel, and he understands that he should be different. Lamoid Lifnei Hashem, to stand in front of Hashem, L'Sharsai, L'Avdai, L'Deas Hashem. So what happens to such a person? Uparak me'al tzavara, he throws off of his neck oil acheshbonos rabim, all of the different cheshbonos asher bikshu b'nei adam, that people look for. Everybody has all their cheshbonos, what I have to do with my life, and how am I going to have enough money, and how is it going to work out, and how, you know, how does the whole Lakewood make it, you know, does everybody have such a rich father-in-law? Forget about it, somehow it works. If you're inspired enough, so then you take the plunge. You don't do anything dangerous, but little by little by little by little, year by year, you can live that type of a life. What happens to such a person? A person lives a life of holiness. He lives a life where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not just a concept, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a reality. V'Hashem Chelkoi, and Hashem is his chelek, v'nachlosei, his inheritance, li'yolam, li'yolmei, v'ilomim. V'yizkeloi b'yolam hazeh, davar ha'maspik lo'i, you won't be rich, but you get enough to keep you happy, to keep you satisfied, k'moy shezocha l'kayanim l'alvim. But what you zeche to is the most important thing, and that is you have a life of kedusha, a life of meaning, An elevated life for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not just a concept. It's a life of chirus from all of the petty, tawdry things that, you know, that preoccupy us. And l'maisa, does everybody go for it all the way? No. But everybody is zeichet to different dargas. And by living in a yeshiva and by taking part as a program in a yeshiva, you grow and you're learning, you grow as a person. But you also grow by seeing people around you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not just a concept. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a reality. We're supposed to attach ourselves to him. And if we do that, so we experience a chirus from all of these petty things. And that's what it means that you never die. What do you mean you never die? Physically you die. But you don't feel like you die, because any person who's really a Ben Torah understands, you know, that this is just the beginning. You just, you know, you move on to the next world. You're just taking it up another level. And that's what we celebrate at the Leil HaSeder. We're free not just from Paroi, we're free from all this pettiness. It will never die. The Yisurim are all for a good reason. Malchus? Who's that? It's just part of the scenery. And that's what we do when we pick up our cup of wine. That's what they experienced in the Mishkan, Ashras Ashkina. So a bracha to everybody is, and number one, don't get so bogged down with your flights. Everybody, Be'ez Hashem, is going to get home or get where they need to be. But Be'ez Hashem, when you do get home, so you should take stock and appreciate how much you gained this month. How much you gained in terms of your learning, how much you gained in terms of growth as a person, but also appreciate the fact that you're developing a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're an elevated person, a real Ben Chayrin, and you should continue to steig in that at the Leil HaSeder, and as you go on in life, everybody should have a good Shabbos, and whoever I don't see, because like they're, you know, not Yitzias Mitzrayim, Knesses Mitzrayim. So they should have a good Bein Hazmanim. And those of you who will be around for a little longer, so Be'ez Hashem, we'll see you next week.